standing on a rooftop, looking out over London. Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against the steel blue sky. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I was up here earlier this afternoon and looking out over these housetops, looking all the way to the dome of St. Paul's. I saw many flags flying from staffs. No one ordered these people to put out the flags. They simply feel like flying the Union Jack above their roofs. No one told them to do it, and no flag up there was white.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I'm out on my own, walking the streets. Look at the things that I meet. I feel like I want to go home. What do I feel? What do I know? But I still believe.
People like us. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, the banner of the show is EDL Radio, Iran, Let the Country Go, with our very special guest, Carmel Melamed. So welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, that's me, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight we welcome independent journalist Carmel Melamed back to our show. We'll be discussing the situation in Iran with the help of Mr. Melamed's unique overview, which cannot be found in the fake stream media. There will be other coverage and commentary as well. Truth is not always pleasant, but it is the medicine to cure our society's ills. No surrender, ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. That was by the late, great Edmund Burke. Also, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, let me... So I have a few issues tonight with my computer, unfortunately. It does happen, as most of you know. But I've got a slight issue, so... And I might have to maybe just put my computer to sleep for a little while and then come back in. But just to let you know. But, you know, I've got my wingman, Dave. He's up there. He's ready to go, aren't you, Dave? And good evening, Dave, to you in the United States. Isn't it Vermont? Vermont. My goodness me, it's been cold over here today, Dave. I don't miss like over in the United States where you are, brother. But God bless you, mate. And good evening.
Good evening to you too, Jeff. And God bless you as well, for many reasons. And good evening to everybody in the UK. And hello to everybody in the United States. And everybody around the world and, of course, off Earth. Yes, we do have a big, big show today. Carmel Melamed is someone who has very good contacts in Iran and many contacts in the Iranian community, not only in Iran, but in other places, including the United States. And he's going to be by to share some of his perspective with us here. He's also been on other talk shows, obviously, because all of this stuff that has been going on, including Fox News. So this is a man... whose guest appearance we appreciate here very much. And he was here before.
I didn't know that Carmel had been on the Fox. Dave. Sorry, Dave. I don't know. Sorry, mate. Go on, buddy. Go on.
But the fact is that usually we don't get the big guests before others do. But this time we did last year. Certainly we did. And for anybody out there that might be running a podcast and might want a perspective on the on what's going on the ground in Iran, you may want to give careful listen to this show and share it out too, because this is going to be where you might get some of the skinny that you will not get, not even on Fox News, really, certainly not on MSLSD or the Clinton News Network or in the UK. The Beeb or ITV or anything of that nature. So we're looking forward to having him on, and hoping that you guys will enjoy the program. And of course, we will have some other commentary and things of that nature once that is over. So Jeff, just to let you know, also, yes, you're saying it's cold in the UK. Well, over here in Vermont in the United States, we've got a bit of a winter wonderland thing going on. It's got a little bit of a snowfall, a couple of inches, and it was just enough to make everything really, really pretty around here. You know, very nice for January when we really did need the snow. So, nice wintry day here in the States. and just before Carmel comes on, of course, you guys all know that, you know, it's been a nice day for the circus down in Washington D.C. I was listening to
some of that, Dave.
I was listening to some of Pastor Shannon Wright's commentary on The Right Way with Shannon and Mike, which appears on SHR Media, and you can also find that on Spreaker. She was talking about how Nancy Pelosi and all of her little minions walked the impeachment articles over to the Senate in this dumb little procession.
They look like a bunch of Smurfs, Dave. I was waiting for the Smurf tune to go in the background of it. Honestly, Dave, I thought it was the Smurfs. God, Dave.
Okay, no, Jeff, you just gave a good idea to somebody out there who matches music to videos. Guys, get to work on that, because that sounds good. I haven't seen the procession itself, but it just seemed to me to be exactly the sort of showmanship that Pelosi likes. And can you believe this, Jeff? They wrote their stupid impeachment articles not on paper, but on parchment. So they actually spent more money doing that. Oh my God! Just the amount of
No wonder Nancy spent so much time holding on to the impeachment thing, because she needed to get all the pens sorted out for her little Smurf tribe. That's the reason why it was the hold up. Nothing to do with just sitting on it and trying to sweat things out of it. It was because she was waiting for pens to come along so she could give it to the Smurfs. The Smurf tribe. Let's call them what now. The Smurf tribe, Dave.
Oh, yeah. She was handing out, as far as I read about this stuff, which I've said to everybody before, it's all crap, so I'm not paying a lot of attention to it, but I'm paying enough of attention to it to get the highlights. And yeah, she's passing out pens that she used to sign the articles as souvenirs and things like that to her little serfs out there. And trust me, guys, if you're on the left out there and you think that Pelosi is the second coming, you are a serf. And if you haven't realized that by now, you will. Trust me on that.
There's no hope for them, Dave. If they haven't known that by now, there's no hope. You're doomed. If you think that Nancy Pelosi is the next coming, you're doomed. You're done. You're finished. Am I right, Dave?
Well, Jeff, just look at J.K. Rowling over there in the UK. All she did was, I think, put out a tweet supporting a woman. And now we haven't played this from Paul Watson, and I don't have it in studio, but we might play this in the future just for fun. Now she's in deep doo-doo with all the big-time lefties. And remember, it wasn't that long ago that she was this big, huge hero with them, with her Harry Potter character and Dumbledore being gay and all this other kind of nonsense. She was a big, huge lefty hero over there, of course, supporting mass migration into the UK and all of that, and of course not putting up any of the migrants in her more than one
castle
mansion.
Or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of them with 18 spare rooms, Jeff. Okay.
Yeah.
She doesn't have any of that. Okay.
It just makes you sick. They give it all the lodge, but. Yeah, they talk about you need to let people in. Well, you've got how many rooms? You say she's got 18. Then if she's all for that, then she should give most of those rooms to those people who's coming in from overseas. If she's that feels so strong. But it's all lies and misconception with these stars, isn't it, Dave? None of them have offered them anything.
It's totally,
ladies and gentlemen. These are fakesters. Let's call it enough. These are fakesters, the lot of them. Oh, my fan's making a weird noise. I don't know whether my computer's about to go pop, but I might have to just send it to sleep for a little while because it's making extreme. I don't know if you can hear it, Dave, but it's making some really strange noises. But yeah, I mean, fakesters. Let's call them what they are, Dave.
Well, the point that I was trying to make, though, was that even someone that high up in the lefty hierarchy, just for one tweet, and now she's persona non grata. So this is for the Americans and the people in the UK who are on the left that think that Nancy Pelosi is it, and so is Hillary Clinton, and whoever the heck is going to wind up in charge of the Labour Party over there. Guaranteed, guys. That they'll come for you eventually.
Yeah, as I say, these leopards, it's all fake, and that's why I used the word fake news. But these are are fake people, period. I mean, and it's embarrassing because how many people do we know, ladies and gentlemen out there, of these lefties who's actually put some of these people that's coming over from overseas up? You know, they say we'll do this, we'll do that. None of them do. It's just for show. It's just a, oh, I've got a bigger heart than you sort of thing. No, it's not. No, none of them do it. It's just about themselves. They're selfish. They don't really care. They just want to make a bit of a noise to say that look, I've got a bigger heart than you. I would do this. But none of them ever do. No, it's all about show. And it always has been. And most of you will know that. But yeah, I say we've got a great show this evening. With
Radio
Carmel Element. And we look forward to his commentary on tonight about what's been going on in Iran, as I say. It's, you know, there's lots of things that's going on. More so than what we hear. See, when things are going on, our mainstream media go quiet. They go quiet. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. They just switch off it. Well, there's nothing here. Nothing here. Move along. Move along. But we know a lot's going on. We know. We know because we heard Mr. Melamed talking about it. This is what's going on. So,
that's true,
Dave.
Now, I'm seeing a caller in here. Would you like me to see who this is?
Yes, please, Dave. As I said, I've had to put my computer to sleep.
She's not run well, like me, Dave. All right, caller. Welcome to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Can you please identify yourself?
Hi, this is Carmel Melamed.
Ah, Carmel.
Hey, Carmel.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, brother. Hope you're well.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's our honor and privilege to have you here. There's been a lot that's been going on in Iran, hasn't there, lately? Last time we spoke to you, so many things have happened. But as I say, we'd just like to hear what you've got to say about what's... are we seeing the end of the... this is the way I feel, Carmel. Are we seeing the last, you know, the regime... fading or failing, should I say? Would you say that we are seeing the embers of that? That the people are rising up now and have had enough of what's going on. They want to be free, to be what they used to be, enjoy their freedom. I don't know, Carmel. You probably got a different perspective than me, but of course we'd love to hear what you've got to say. What's been going on?
I wouldn't say it is the beginning of the end. It is the end of the regime now. I would say that it is perhaps the beginning of what might be an earthquake for the regime.
Wow.
You have to take into mind this is a brutal, brutal, violent, totalitarian regime. I would compare it to North Korea, the old former Soviet Union. They will not go quietly. The Ayatollahs will not go easily. But what you are seeing is massive, massive protests across the board from different sectors, different ages, different tribal groups, different ethnic groups. In all of the major cities and all of the provinces and all of the villages, it is definitely an earthquake. Will the regime go quietly? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You have to look at this regime from a historical perspective. It is run by the clerics, the religious... radical Islamic clerics. They have been trying for 400 years to gain power and rule Iran for 400 years. That opportunity was handed to them finally in 1979 after 400 years of trying to grasp control of that country. And after 400 years, they got control, and in 40 years, they've been ruling with an iron fist, and they're not about to give up that easily.
No, but you've got some very, I mean, the thing about with Iran, as I say, you've got a proud Persian people, haven't you? You know, the Persians have always been known to be proud of who they are, and then they're fed up with the way that they're being treated. They're seeing absolutely inhuman things happening, which, say, what, 40, 50 years, that wouldn't have happened. It was very westernized back then before the Shah fell, should I say, and the Islamic regime took a foothold. You had a great way of life, didn't you, Carmel, back in Iran, or I call it the old Persia, because it is the old Persia, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, they are historically Persians. They do not see themselves as any other group. Those that have a lot of pride, national pride, trace back their roots to Cyrus the Great from the Bible. They say, we are descendants of Cyrus. He was the one that bestowed the first, you know, ruler, the first international ruler that bestowed human rights and equality and tolerance to the world. So the people for sure see themselves in that perspective and with that, you know, with that nostalgia. Unfortunately, the regime doesn't. The regime sees themselves and the country through that radical Islamic Shiite dogma.
Exactly, and that is its downfall. As you said, what we're seeing is, or what we're experiencing or feeling, is an earthquake. It's just an amazing state. But the sad thing about it, Carmen, was also we did hear of there was an uprising just a little while ago, and a lot of you know this yourself. Over 1,500. Good people who stood up against this regime lost their lives. There's no burial. There wasn't allowed. People weren't allowed to go to the funerals. They banned it, didn't they? Am I right, Carmel? That's the reason why we didn't hear nothing, because they was just quickly getting rid of the bodies. That was it. No funerals, no nothing. This is what I've heard, and maybe you can clarify.
Yeah, 1,500 was the number that was officially given by Reuters. Folks on the ground in Iran, the protesters, their families, think that the numbers are much, much higher. They haven't been able, you know, the Western world hasn't been able to confirm, beyond 1,500. You know, which 1,500 is horrendous in its own, but they think the numbers are much higher, and the regime has arrested thousands. Many of the bodies haven't been returned. Many of the bodies have, quote-unquote, disappeared. Since November, a lot of the bodies have washed up in riverbeds and waterways randomly.
Wow.
And people know that, you know, these folks were executed and their bodies were dumped by the regime. The regime also is holding and has been holding a lot of the executed prisoners, protesters' bodies, not releasing them unless the families pay for the bullets that were used to execute those, you know, protesters.
Can you say that again, just for our listeners, to let the listeners know how
the
cold
Iranian
and
regime is,
this regime is? What are they doing to the people?
The Iranian regime is extorting money from the families of those protesters that the regime executed by charging them for the bullets that the regime used to execute those protesters. In essence, they're saying, if you want your loved one's body back, you must pay for the bullet that we used to end their life. They're adding insult to injury to the lives of the families. And this is not a new trend. This is not a new phenomenon. This has been going on since the early 80s. One of my extended family members were executed by the regime in 1980. And when
on the last show, we did speak about that. It was your father's uncle or something or other, wasn't it?
Exactly. My father's relative, he had to go and get the body. And when he came to get the body, they charged him for the bullet that they used to execute that young man.
Goodness.
So this is a long, gruesome tradition from the regime.
Yeah. What are you hearing from the ground about the situation in Iran? You've got more people that's involved who's on the ground. And I know it's a very dangerous situation for those people to let anything out what's going on because the regime being as they are. But what are you hearing from the ground with your sources?
They're beyond furious. They are beyond furious. They are still protesting. They are coming out in the streets. They are coming out during the day, at night, in the universities. They're protesting. They're essentially putting their lives at risk. And you have to admire their bravery of going up against this regime. And they're being beaten. They're being killed. They're being tortured. But nevertheless, they're chanting to the regime, "You are our ISIS." Soleimani, the terrorist that the U.S. government killed, is a murderer. And they're saying death to the dictator, death to the supreme leader. They're calling for him to resign. They're essentially calling for regime change. And this is not, our media in the West, unfortunately, has been the minimal coverage that they've been giving it. They've been saying, these are student protesters that are upset about the airliner that was shot down by the Iranian government. These protests have minimal to do with that, with that airline being shot down. Yes, the folks are upset that the regime killed those 170 plus people with that missile at the commercial airliner. But
the protests
are much wider. They're much wider. Yeah.
Yeah. As I said, the thing that I did see, which our media is showing, is that people, where before they used to tread all over the Israeli flag and the American flag, people was walking around it, refusing to walk on the flag and said, the USA is not our enemy, nor is Israel. You are. This is what the message was, and I thought, How brave these people are, Carmel.
Absolutely, it
amazing.
Is remarkable. But let me add a small preference, and I've been responding to a lot of people that have been posting on social media that video. There's students at the Beheshtiye University in Tehran that are walking around the flags of America and Israel that are painted on the ground. But let me say this. This is not a new phenomenon. This has been going on for a number of years. It's unfortunate that our media in the U.S. and Europe and the West hasn't reported on it, but it's not a new phenomenon. The younger people, the older people, those that have no gripe against America or Israel have been avoiding stepping on those flags that the regime has put, on the ground, painted on the ground or left on the ground for people to walk around, to walk over. So this is not a new phenomenon, but it is remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, in all the presidents we've had over the time, there's only one president that's actually said, "We stand with you," and actually threatened the regime, "Don't kill the protesters," and you see what the President Trump said about it. So, and it's the first time that we've actually, had a president that's standing with the people. Well, it's not actually stand, but that word, what he's saying, it must raise the spirits of the good people in Iran, that, you know, you've got the President of the United States who's behind you, who's there, and is watching very, very closely what happens. Unfortunately, there's still been people being shot, though. This is the sad thing. This is what I heard. There was a few people who were shot. A couple of days ago, wasn't it, Carmel? You probably know more about it than me. Go ahead, bruv.
Yeah, there have been reports of a number of people that have been shot, killed. A lot of the internet has been shut down, so getting some of the footage or getting some of the information has been sporadic in recent days. But yes, the regime has gone forward. You know, nevertheless, they've ignored the president's messages not to kill the protesters. They've gone ahead and done it regardless because of their brutality. This regime wants to hold on to power no matter what. They will go to any extent. People typically do not recall what Soleimani, who was, you know, that terrorist leader that was executed, was killed by the U.S. military. They don't recall what he said prior to him being killed. When those protests started back in November, he went on the record in the media over there, and he said, "I am willing to kill myself and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. We are willing to kill 20 million Iranians if that will prevent one tear from shedding from the eyes of the supreme leader." So this just shows you the extent of the brutality of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard that are loyal to the supreme leader and loyal to the regime. They will go to any extent.
I think when he was taken down, this shook him up. I actually see the mullahs actually shedding tears. You know, shedding tears, actually crying because this guy had been taken out. And actually, he shouldn't have been, wherever he was, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. It went against the law or something or other that he's not allowed to be anywhere else, but he was doing it. He was doing it flying quite freely. He didn't care. He thought he was untouchable, didn't he, Carmel? This guy,
yeah,
he
felt, indeed, he felt he was invincible. He felt that he was beyond reproach because he had gotten away with, you know, all these nefarious terrorist actions for the last two decades. The different administrations and the Arab world, no one had really, you know, done anything. No one had opposed him. He thought he was invincible and untouchable.
I mean, he must have had literally, I don't know, you know, they talk about thousands, but it must have been hundreds of thousands of deaths on his hands.
Absolutely.
He must have been drenched in blood of the people that he'd seen, you know, who'd end up having killed
more than 600 U.S. soldiers killed,
yes,
as a result of Soleimani's involvement in Iraq. Thousands of U.S. soldiers injured from roadside bombs and other attacks. Hundreds of thousands of Syrians during this bloodbath,
yes,
starting from 2011, orchestrated by large part from Soleimani in Syria, Lebanon, Iraq. So he had the blood of thousands of Muslims, non-Muslims, a devious, devious, nefarious person. And no one should be shedding a tear of him being eliminated. And you saw Iranians celebrating.
We find the Democrats were shedding tears quite openly about the president taking out this most evil person. And it shows you of what the Democrats are really like, doesn't it? It was embarrassed to hear them say these things. It was almost as though they was a part of the regime themselves, the way some of them were talking. I don't know if you got that feeling, Carmel. It was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Absolutely. I was shocked. Personally, I was very shocked to see leaders and some members of the Democrat elected officials actually opposing what happened. I think it's a shame that they've taken this to political levels. This person was committing crimes against humanity, and all the world should stand up and applaud what happened. It should not, you know, fall into this political sphere and political bickering. And it is shameful that anyone in the U.S. or in the free world would oppose him being taken out. There were a lot of pundits that said, oh, now the Iranian people are going to rally around the regime and this will backfire and whatnot. And that was bogus. That was completely bogus. Yes. After the Soleimani funerals, you saw people, you saw people protesting against the regime and actually tearing up Soleimani's picture and setting his picture on fire in Iran. So they had no love for him.
One of his pictures being torn off the wall. Well, I think there was another one, but they just showed you a little snippet of one of these posters being ripped from the wall. And I thought, wow, you know, and I thought myself, the person who done it, I thought, you don't know the eyes of the world on you. I just hope you don't, you're not recognised. Do you know what I mean, Carmel? That's what I thought when I saw that. And God bless them for what they did. I mean, it's showing now that the world, that, you know, you're great people, are not putting up with it. And I know there's lots of, there's been a lot of bloodshed, and there probably will be continued bloodshed until the regime does fall. It will fall. I can't see a future for them. Now, it seems like Europe is turning against the regime, especially with this this nuclear deal. So, I mean, things are coming, falling apart around them. But as I say, it's like, as you say, they're not going to give in without a fight, and it could be really quite nasty at their end of their rule. And I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you, Carmel?
Absolutely. You have a population of, Iran's total population is a little over 80 million. And the vast majority of people in that country, I would say 75 to 80%, are under age 40. And they are looking at social media. Exactly. They're the new young generation. They're looking at they're looking at the world, they're looking at social media, and they're saying, why not us? Why can't we have these opportunities? Why can't we have these jobs? Our country has so much wealth as far as natural resources. Why are we being deprived of these economic opportunities and also freedoms? And there is no way in hell for this regime, as brutal as it is, to stop this massive tidal wave of humanity demanding freedom. It is impossible. I hope they don't, you know, slaughter the masses. But if they do choose to do that, this regime cannot prevail. Just numerically, it would be impossible.
God bless all those good people that are standing up against this regime of inhumanity. As I say, in the end, evil never will prevail. I believe in that, and I'm sure you do. That in the end, through the things that's happening with the bloodshed, freedom has to be fought, and sometimes you have to shed your blood and your life, you know, to sacrifice. And that's what we're seeing. And you know, the Persian people, and that's why I call it Persian, because you're an old race. It's an old race, isn't it, you know? And they're proud. And I would say, you know, if I was a younger man and I was had more business here, I would like to join in the fight and to help in whatever way I could the people, because you know they are, you know, in my eyes I'm very very proud of what they're doing, because it, We live in a world where there's so much evil exists, but there's good people who stands up, and it doesn't matter, you know, no matter what happens to them, they're going to fight against the evil out there, and that's what we're seeing. Carmel, I've got Dave here, and I know he's been sitting very quietly, and I'm sure he's got a few questions to ask you. And it's so good to hear your voice again, though, Carmel. It's always
my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And let me just say that the fact that you're speaking about this and supporting those protesters is tremendous. It is something that they are grateful to. And even though you may not be physically with them, the fact that you're raising awareness about their condition and their plight, I think, is applauded by them and appreciated.
Oh, well, bless you. I mean, we will always be talking about the plight of what's going on in Iran, and that's why it's so good. We're so glad to have you join us, because you've really, you know what's going on out there, and you give us so much information. I hope you'll be a regular, you know, a regular guest of the show, because you're a pretty awesome gentleman in your own rights, with your own journalistic rights, etc., what you've been doing. But can I pass it over to Dave, because I've taken up all this time, and Dave's got so many questions he's got to ask you. But as I say, so good to have you join us tonight. I know you're a busy man as well, Carmel, but good to have you here, brother. God bless you.
Thank you.
Dave? Right, Carmel. Yes, right, Carmel. Now, let me dial this back just a bit here. You and Jeff discussed quite a bit. In the Hearts and Minds Department, because as you know only too well, the call it Western media or whatever you want to call it over here has painted one picture of Iran, and then there's the truth. And one of the memes, let's say, one of the things that they've said about the Iranian people is that they do not want any interference from the outside world at all. I'm talking about the people, not the regime. They don't want any interference from the outside world at all. They think President Trump is a war criminal. They hate President Trump. They hate Americans. They hate people from the UK, and things of that nature. And they're just protesting over gas prices and of course the plane being shot down and things of that nature, but underlying it, they still fully support the mullahs, and they have absolutely no patience for the West or any interference at all, particularly from President Trump, who they see as Satan. Now, how much of that is real and how much of that is as you put it, so rightly, bogus?
I think that the vast majority of the U.S. and European Western media have been reporting basically bogus information about the people in Iran. They've been parroting what the regime has been feeding them. It is shameful. It is not journalism. I've been a reporter for 20 years. And there's something called objectivity and facts. And I have seen none of that from any of the major, you know, news media. There are a few that have been reporting some accurate stories, but the vast majority have not. To be honest with you, we can't trust them. We can't trust our U.S. media, unfortunately, European media, because they're in bed with the regime. You just need to look at what the people in Iran are saying. Go on social media, look at the videos, look at their statements, look at their actions. They're tearing up pictures of Soleimani. They're tearing up pictures of the Supreme Leader. They're refusing to walk over the flags of Israel and America. They are sending thousands of messages through social media thanking President Trump for supporting them, thanking President Trump for taking out Soleimani. They are posting pictures of cakes and cookies and pastries with notes on them saying, thank you, President Trump, for taking out Soleimani. He was our murderer. You are seeing them chanting in the streets, America is not our enemy. Our enemy is here in Iran. So I look at, you know, what's on the ground as opposed to what our media is, quote-unquote, reporting. I think an important fact that a lot of Americans and Europeans do not realize is when any Western media goes to Iran, before they go to Iran, they need to get special visas. The Iranian intelligence ministry must vet, quote-unquote, vet any foreign reporters before they are given a visa. They are certainly not going to give a visa to any U.S. or foreign media that are not going to be sympathetic to them, that are not going to toe their line. So you had NBC, ABC, CNN, these other vast number of other media outlets going to Iran and parroting what the regime is saying. And when they do get there, the regime gives them a handler, and the regime gives them a translator. How can any of that reporting be unbiased? How can any of that reporting be objective? How can we give any credibility when the Iranian regime is basically controlling what those Western or U.S. media outlets are reporting? And those reporters, shame on them. Shame on them for going to Iran. And even if they aren't, you know, even if they are going to Iran, shame on them for not adding a comment afterwards saying, hey, we were restricted. We went into Iran to get their side of the story, but we were restricted. We were prohibited from talking to certain people, or we had handlers. They didn't say any of that during the Soleimani funeral, and they just parroted the regime's talking points.
Shills for the regime. Sorry about that, Dave. Shilling for the regime. That's who
absolutely.
They are, those reporters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So people need to take into consideration that even U.S. and Western media that go into Iran are being either pressured to report a certain way that the regime wants, or are complicit and just parroting what the regime says. Because, you know, if they don't, if they are objective and give the true facts, they'll never be allowed back into Iran. So this is my problem with the Western media's coverage.
I hope you don't mind, Doug. There was a reporter that was on the ground when Iran fired those missiles. I think it's 12 missiles that they fired. And the guy that was there said he'd been told that over 30 military, American troops, had been killed. And it was untrue. It was untrue. It's what he was told by them. And it was unfounded. So this guy needs to lose his job. I mean, because he was just being a propagandist. That's the word, isn't it, Carmel? A propagandist for the regime.
Absolutely. Most definitely. And unfortunately, there isn't anyone in our media or, you know, in the public sphere, elected officials, that are calling out their outrageous coverage. Those of us journalists in the Iranian community here in the U.S. who know what this regime is about and how they control all aspects of life in Iran know this. We're trying to get out the message that, you know, they're being manipulated. Our U.S. media is being manipulated either willingly or unwillingly. I just wish that there was someone that would stand up and say, hey, you know what? We went into Iran. We covered what the regime allowed us to cover. But as a side note, this is what, you know, we were prohibited from reporting when they came out. But none of them did. And it's shameful.
It
well,
is,
part of that.
And you being a journalist yourself, you must feel, you know, their reporting on things isn't what journalists, what you learned as a journalist yourself, you know, to be truthful about things. They've been told to lie, and they're doing it willingly, aren't they, Carmel? That's what they're doing. They're doing it willingly.
You could see it in the Soleimani coverage. They all clamored to go to Iran and cover that spectacle. It was a shameful propaganda media spectacle, all aspects of it. They tried to project this image that the majority of the people in Iran loved Soleimani and supposedly were sorry for, you know, his loss. It was a sham. It was a show.
Yeah.
The people of Iran were in reality opposed to him.
Most of us, we're pretty savvy, aren't we, Carmel? You know, we know that was a sham. It was put on, especially put on the display to show the wider world how much people cared about this person. And it was just there that they was paid to do what they were doing by the regime, wasn't it? These people were paid to do that. You know, I mean,
many were paid. Some were regime supporters. Some were under duress.
Yep.
You didn't hear from the Western media reporting on that sham funeral that a lot of people were threatened. They said, if you do not, the regime's thugs went to their homes and businesses and said, if you do not go out and protest and mourn, publicly mourn, you will be executed or imprisoned or your family members will be, you know, put under some, you know, evil actions. Also, you didn't hear the reports of Iraqis and Syrians and Afghans who were Shiite. They were bussed in from, you know, thousands of miles away into Tehran for this spectacle.
Wow, I didn't hear that. I didn't know this, Carmel. Thank you for that.
This is something that the media did not. This is something the media did not report. But, you know, I know of this, and, you know, those that are in contact with the protesters and folks on the ground in Iran know this. They saw these buses rolling into the capital, Tehran, with a bunch of foreigners, Afghans and Iraqis and Syrians, coming out and being, you know, given flags and marched out. And there was another, yet another group of people that they, you know, they're hungry. They're just hungry, starving people, and the regime said, if you come out and publicly mourn for Soleimani, we'll give you a free meal, a free drink, you know, we'll fill your bellies. Well, of course those people are going to come. But you didn't hear any of that in the media.
Information about those people being busted. I don't know, if Dave, did you know this? I didn't know that people was being busted in. Thank you, Carmel, because we didn't know that.
It was a complete sham. It was something very similar to what happened when the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il died many years ago. I don't know if you remember that North Koreans were forced to cry. They were in the streets, quote-unquote, mourning. But no different in Iran. No different in Iran. Those people were forced to go out and mourn. And the ones that were genuinely upset were in a minority that were a part of the security apparatus or sympathetic to the regime. But the vast majority of the population was quite happy, and you could see that from the videos and messages posted prior to the funeral and then from the videos and messages that came after the funeral. You had people kicking pictures of Soleimani and tearing up pictures of Soleimani and shouting in the streets, he was a murderer. So this shows that that was a sham funeral, and unfortunately the Western media was complicit in that, you know, propaganda stunt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm so glad that you've joined us tonight so as you can explain exactly what was going on while the Western media was showing and lying about the situation. You knew exactly what was going on. So that was news to me about people being busted. I'm going to pass it back to Dave. I'm sorry, Dave, because I've been taking a lot of time, and I know you wanted to have a couple of questions with Carmel. But let me pass it back to you, Dave. Sorry about that, bruv.
Okay, yeah, Jeff, it's probably time for you to call back in, too. All right, yeah,
thank
Carmel.
You,
And Carmel, you can confirm this, but for people who are younger and don't have experience with some of this stuff, the things that you described in Iran going on are not new. And by that, I mean that reporters have handlers. This happened in China when the Olympics were there. All the reporters had handlers. And in fact, when they did some of that coverage, they did actually say to people, yes, we did have handlers going with us. And this has been true going back as far as I can remember. And I've been studying this stuff. I'm working on my 51st year of doing that. And whenever American reporters or Western reporters visit or used to visit communist countries or totalitarian countries, they always had handlers. And they were shown only that which the regime wanted them to see. And the only thing that I heard that was different this time was that the Iranian regime was actually vetting reporters coming in so they'd be sure that they'd get good, promising coverage from them. I don't think that I'd get to go in with press credentials from SHR Media, but that always seems to be the case, and it is another maxim of journalists. You've been a journalist for 20 years, so you know this. It's another maxim of journalists that some of them, anyway, who don't have the kind of ethics that the people need for the truth. Some of them will say, well, of course we have to do things the regime's way, because if we don't, then we don't get access. So the question comes, which is more important, access to, for instance, the White House press corps or the Iranian regime or the North Korean regime back in the past, the Ugandan regime, things of that nature, or the truth? Do you see these as sometimes being diametrically opposed when it comes to things like getting the truth out about Iran?
To those reporters that would say, you know, we need to get in there and get the story, I would say, fine, that's great. But why don't you preface in your report, whether it's radio, TV, online, newspaper, magazine, why don't you put a note in there, a preface in there, that you were being handled, that you were vetted prior to going into Iran, that you were given a regime translator, that you were prohibited from going into certain places and talking to certain folks? They don't disclose any of that, Dave. They don't disclose any of that in their reports. And that's dishonest. That's intellectually dishonest. That's not journalism 101, which I was taught, which is objectivity, and stick with the facts. If you want to tell the regime side of the story, if you want to get into Iran, that's fine. But you need to give us all the facts, not half of the facts. And when they fail to disclose that tidbit of them being vetted prior to going, of them having handlers, of them being given translators, it's just very dishonest reporting, and it should give people a lot of, you know, pause. They should pause and say, hey, is this credible reporting or not, when they don't disclose that. I would never be given a visa to go to Iran right now and cover that, what's going on there, because they know that I would give objectivity. And even if I did go there, I would probably be arrested or taken out. This is, you know, a very, very basic journalism 101 objectivity requirement that our media in the U.S. and Europe is not meeting. And it's shameful, and it makes their reporting look like propaganda.
Well, that it does, yes, that it does. Now, I want to shift, and the reason that I asked you the question the way I did is because there are a lot of younger people who I don't think even recognize what objective journalism is anymore, because it's all propaganda, and reporters and commentators who try to tell the truth no matter where they takes them or where it takes them, are rare now. They're only found in these podcasts and things of that nature. Now, I'm going to illustrate something, Carmel, that you told us early on with the brutality of this regime. You sent me this story. And people, if you want to go looking for this, this is a story from Fox News by Benjamin Weinthal. All right. And the headline on this one is Iranian authorities bulldoze the grave of executed Christian pastor. Okay. And that comes from his family. So, guys, you want to go looking for that. Carmel, do you have any more background on this story, or is this just yet another indicator? This happened 2 days ago of the brutality of this regime.
Yeah, I don't have any more details on that story beyond what was reported. But what I can tell you is it is accurate. It's an accurate story. Basically, the regime executed this pastor in December of 1990 for proselytizing Muslims to Christianity. He was going around and sharing the gospel of Christ with Muslims in Iran. And that is a crime in the eyes of the regime. He was executed in 1990. So that's, you know, almost 30 years ago. To add insult to injury, his body was never given to the family. He was, you know, randomly buried on a site. And, you know, they told the community, the Christian community, this is where we buried him, you know, and, you know, that's the end of it. Well, the regime has got such brutality, such hatred for those that are Christian converts that they went recently in recent days and they bulldozed that gentleman's grave. That's their way of saying, we're not even going to leave the dead in peace. Even the dead don't have peace under this regime. And a big part of it is the fact that they see this regime as a radical totalitarian Shiite regime. And they see the Christian religion as a direct threat, not just theologically and religiously to their, you know, to their beliefs, but they see it as a direct political threat. Their regime is built on religious dogma, and that God has anointed them with this Islamic radical theology to rule Iran through, you know, Islamic theology. And Christianity is a direct opposition to their rule. So anyone that preaches Christianity is threatening their rule and is trying to subvert people from following them. And as a result, Christians have been executed, imprisoned, beaten. Christian converts is the same way. So that bulldozing action by the regime was a way of sending a message to the Christians in Iran to say, don't think we've forgotten about you. Even your dead, we're not going to leave in peace.
Well, and that's
all
that right, really
kid. I mean, I'm a Christian, Carmel. I'm a Christian, and to me, it's despicable. It's despicable. I would say that this this pastor, I would say that he was a martyr. He was a martyr. I mean, what he was doing was sharing the faith with the people around him. And they executed him for it. And in my eyes, Dave, I don't know how you feel about that, but I think this gentleman was a martyr in the whole sense of the word. It's sad. But what they've done is bulldozing his grave. That's just unbelievable, Carmel. That is really upsetting. Thank you for giving us that information, Bill.
Okay, well, I'd like to get into something else, Carmel, if you don't mind. Now, over here in the United States and possibly in other places that I haven't heard of, there have been a whole lot of celebrities who have come out in basically in support of the Iranian regime. And it's caused quite a stir over in this country on social media and other places, and a lot of anger. But I caught a story not too long ago that I want to read the headline off, and I want to get your comment on this, because I want to get from you the sense, just signal another crack possibly in the regime. Now, this comes from the Daily Mail, all right, and it is by Tim Stickings, and it's AFP, and it was updated on the 13th of January. Now, here's the headline here. Iranian anti-regime protests in a third day after Tehran admits it did shoot down a passenger jet as singer and film director back protesters and two state TV hosts quit over military, quote, lies, end quote. Now, if I can get your perspective on that, because the celebrity community over here, being over here in the States, being extremely anti-Trump, almost seems to be in favor of this regime. What are your impressions of whether or not you're beginning to see with these Iranian celebrities coming out in support of the protesters? Could this be another crack in the regime?
Most definitely. You have a number of prominent people in the entertainment sphere and media sphere in Iran that are disgusted. They've basically finally come to the realization that the brutality of the regime is, you know, unpalatable for them anymore. They can't put up with it anymore. They can't put up with the sham shows that the regime has been putting on, and they have a guilty conscience. They're looking at their friends and their neighbors and their family members in the streets protesting in tears and losing their lives, and it's hitting them in the heart. Those Iranians that are, you know, in the media and entertainment, which is heartwarming. It shows the humanity, their humanity, and the fact that, you know, they don't follow this regime's dogma. As far as the celebrities here in the U.S., it is shameful and sad that they are not supporting these protesters. I always tell folks, whether you're on the right or on the left here in the U.S. or Europe, it's a no-brainer to support people that want freedom. It's a no-brainer to support people that want equality and freedom of religion, freedom of speech, economic opportunities. Why would you not want, you know, freedom? It is a fundamental right. It is something that everyone, whether, you know, what political spectrum you fall under, should appreciate and cherish. Unfortunately, there are many celebrities here in the U.S. and elsewhere that have been blinded by this extreme political hate for the current administration, that they're not looking at the average Iranians on the street dying, losing their lives, being imprisoned. They're failing to look at the humanity, that aspect of it, and blindly just having hate and opposing anything that the current administration says. This administration has said some things that I don't agree with. This president's comments on different topics have been inappropriate in my view on many occasions. But when I'm looking at the people of Iran and I'm seeing innocent teenagers saying, we want freedom, we want opportunities, we want to feed ourselves and our families, we want a better future, and this president is saying, I'm with you, I'm supporting you, I've got to applaud that. I've got to say, that's fabulous, and I'm with those people that want that freedom. I'm with those people that, you know, want to throw off the shackles of oppression. I pray and hope that celebrities media personalities in America look at those protesters, look at those Iranian Americans that are being the voice of those protesters, and change their minds and set aside some of this political hatred that they have and say, you know what, I'm setting aside what I'm thinking about this president, and I'm standing with the people of Iran regardless of, you know, any internal domestic disputes or differences that I have with this president.
Well, I think what you're talking about is a fundamental love for freedom and liberty, and it's the sort of thing that makes people appreciate the plight of people in the street, because that's what it's all about. I mean, that's why the English Defense League was originally formed. And one of the things you said earlier on that caught my attention, as much of what you said has caught my attention, was how the regime fed some of the people who came in for the Soleimani funeral, and that was their price. They were basically paid mourners. They were given a ride and a meal. And Jeff will tell you, and so will I, that Antifa has used this tactic. So has Hope Not Hate and some of the other leftist groups in both the UK and the United States to get people to their demonstrations, up to and including giving them a certain amount of money per day to jump on the buses and come out and come to these things. And yes, they give them food and drinks as well. This is a well-known tactic.
Didn't we, Dave?
Yes, Jeff.
We do. One of our angels actually heard a police say, someone said, how come they can get it? Because they're paid, they've got food, they've got drink. And we talked about this, and this was with one of our angels, Carmel. She heard exactly was that. So we see this sort of what you're talking about and being buffed in. We've been seeing this in this country for decades ourselves, you know. So Dave, you're so right. Back to you, mate.
Well, and I'll expand that a little bit, Carmel, for you. One of the things that we do on this show here is we recognize what happened to the people of the UK during the terrorist attack on the 7th of July. And there was another, and I don't care how many people don't call it a terrorist attack, I do, on the 7th of July a few years ago in Dallas. And one of the things that a local TV station reported, but no one else did, was that many of the protesters that were bussed in to this Black Lives Matter demonstration in Dallas, which ended with the deaths of five Dallas police officers, were bussed in. And even the local TV station did not have any idea who was bussing them in, where they were coming from, or anything of that nature. All they knew was that they were being bussed in. So this is not something that is unfamiliar to us. But, Carmel, I really appreciate your being here with us and spreading some truth, because you have been, in my opinion, just a dynamite guest. Jeff, would you agree?
Oh, I would, 100%. Carmel, when Dave said that you're coming back to the show, wow, you know, because you've got so much information that a lot of people don't hear because of the fake stream media out there, that it's good to hear impartial journalists like yourself telling it the way it is. And you are welcome anytime on our show, because we love having you here. You're an awesome guest, any time, isn't it, Dave? We because every time we talk, there's been so much has been going on. Like the last time that we talked, and then we heard all these other things come out. So it was just that right time that you come and joined us again, Carmel. And that any time, sir, any time.
I thank you for having me on. I thank you for offering this venue for some kind of truth to come out regarding this horrific regime. I'm sure folks that listen to this wherever, whether in Iran or elsewhere, applaud you for bringing on voices that speak truth to power. My hope, my prayer is that folks in the West will stand up and support the people of Iran. The people saying, we've had enough of this nightmare, 40 years is enough, and we want something better. Let us not forget that, and I'll say this as a closing comment to you, I know your time is limited, but those folks in Iran are majority are living in horrible economic conditions. They have lost their jobs. They are living not even paycheck to paycheck. They are living day by day. And some are very, very educated people. They're just barely surviving. So you must take all that's going on over there in that context as well.
Well, Brother Duke, one thing you might want to maybe mention is that there's more than one way to get information out, and might want to mention the older technologies. Anybody's got modems out there, they might want to dig them out, because if they can wind up getting to a phone line, then that may be a way to get info out. But again, Carmel, thank you very much for being with us, and please, at any time you'd like to come back on the show and share something, you know how to get hold of me, all right?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
God bless you,
Carmel. As I say, you've been an awesome guest and so much information you've shared with us and our great listeners out there. As I say, I hope that you'll be in touch with us in the not-too-distant future. Maybe we'll have some good news. You never know, do you, Carmel? You never know. If you're an optimist like me, I believe in the power of the people and freedom and everything that we talk about. And the truth will always be the winner in the end. No matter what the fake stream media does, the truth is what will always win through. Once again, Carmel, Mr. Mallory, it's been awesome. You've been an awesome guest tonight. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you, Carmel.
All right.
Take care, brother.
All right.
Okay?
Okay, Carmel. God bless, my friend.
Okay, my
Goodbye.
Friend. Bye.
See you later, Carmel.
All right. Wow, Jeff.
Wow, what a guest. what a guest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I knew he'd be good. And, of course, I had him in mind to come back sometime, sometime early in the year, maybe February. But so much happened in so short a space of time in Iran over the holidays and just as the new year began that it became a priority to have him on so that we could we could get him get a better perspective of things.
I've loved it. I don't know about you, Dave. I've loved the show tonight. I mean, a great guest. Can we say? He's opened that can of worms on the things that a lot of people didn't quite understand. I mean, what gets me and probably a lot of the listeners out there, Dave, is the regime, the people wanting their loved ones back who've been murdered by the regime, they had to pay for the bullets that their family, their members was killed. Or murdered, let's not say killed, they was murdered, executed, whatever we want to call, but how cold. No one, this needs to be taken down, doesn't it? This regime needs to be gone. And the people need to be able to reign and have their freedom too. The country could be absolutely awesome, like it was. We will always stand with the people around. God bless you. If you are listening in or whatever device you're listening, we will always back you all the way. We love you people. You're awesome Persian people. Keep the fight going, brothers and sisters. Never give in, never give up, and never, ever surrender. You are awesome. We love you.
Well,
back to you, Dave.
Yep. Well, no, you know, and I mirror that sentiment. I think it would be great if we had yet another friend, if the West had yet another friend, a real friend, not just someone that says they're a friend like Saudi Arabia, a real friend in the Middle East. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, speaking of dynamite, I think having both Israel and Iran as true allies would be, you know, just a huge step forward in the fight for civilization. Because, as you say...
Wow, Dave, I could agree. Even, you know, that what you just said there, Dave, I salute you for what you said there, because I believe the same. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they do think, I mean, when Dave says things, I'm thinking, my goodness me, that's amazing. I'm thinking something similar. So, Dave, I salute you for what you just said, brother. I agree.
Well, yeah, and I guess I'm going to give you my final thoughts, Jeff, because we're just about out of time. Everybody, please, first of all, thank you for being here with us on this special show. And once again, a big thank you to Carmel Melamed. You know, independent reporter, there's a guy that you want to follow on Twitter with. He's at Carmel Melamed. And, yeah, just do that. And he's also on Facebook. I know that. As for us and me, please... please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. That's under SHR Media, and I can also be heard on the Western Free Radio Network. My show times are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, and that's 6 p.m. in the U.K., and at midnight on Saturday Eastern in the United States, and that's 5 a.m. in the U.K., where you guys will hear repeats of this program and Unpleasant Blind Guy shows that I do on my own. And I just want to say, Jeff, this has been a fantastic show. Honor and a privilege to work with you. You were deadly on point tonight. Really good. I just want to say the foot soldiers, angels, and freedom fighters, and to the young people of Iran seeking freedom out there, be prosperous, be blessed. We will always keep you in our hearts, and no surrender. Back to you, Jeff.
Wow, Dave, that was... I love hearing your final thoughts. As I say, Dave, you know, I won't forget this show, and I will listen back on the show this evening. It was one of those that myself and Carmel and yourself, Dave, we was engaging in conversation. With the time just flies, with things that was coming out, and that's why a couple of times I said to him, well, could you say that again? Because it's so shocking, some of the things that Carmel was talking about, wasn't it, Dave, that people need to hear that again, exactly what's going on there. So fantastic. I hope Carmel comes back and joins us again soon, and maybe with a bit of better news for the great people of Iran, eh, Dave? That would be awesome, mate. That's my dreams and my expectations. That's what I want to see. And same as you, and same as millions of people across the world would like to see that. That Iran prospers in a different way than the bloodshed of innocent people who want freedom. That's the way I look at it, like many other people. But we prevail in the end. Goodness will prevail over the evil, because that's pure evil, what we heard, what the regime were doing. And with their people, imagine it. And what you and Carmel were talking about, that pastor that was executed for proselytizing, you know, with other people. And then we find out that his grave's been bulldozed. That's just beyond the pale, isn't it, Dave? Just beyond the pale. But once again, Dave, thank you so much tonight. You know, I've had some issues, computer tech issues. But Dave, you've been there. You've been on the ball as usual, brother. And yeah, great show this evening. A great, oh, by the way, Dave, great slides, and at the banner was brilliant. Thank you, Dave.
No worries, Jeff. God bless you, and God bless all the listeners.
Right, well, where we are. Yeah, okay, so for myself and Dave, I hope you've all enjoyed this show tonight, and these are the type of shows that you want to listen to again, you know, and this will be one of our encore shows for future references. Am I right, Dave? Be one of our encore shows, definitely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So with that, for myself and my great wingman, Mr. Dave Milner, absolutely awesome, Mr. Ragadoo himself, well, I enjoyed it totally tonight. So thank you so much, everybody. And we'll be back again with another great radio show. I hope you've enjoyed it, guys. With that, I've got people pushing past me. Yeah, okay. Dave, they keep pushing me. They keep pushing me. What can I do? I keep falling off my chair. With that, what we're going to do, Dave, we're going underground and we've got to go. We've got to go. So with that, we're going underground. Cheers, guys.
People might say my life is in a rut. I'm quite happy, well, I suck up. People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy, I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course I don't mind. If I need you like that, for far from it, fine. Then the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging through the flag. Two years of what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader and the place you're trapped, and the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give a
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, another fantastic episode of the English Defence League radio show with our special guest, Carmel Melamed. Very enlightening show this was this evening. So a lot of information come out there that even shocked me. So there you go, and I know it did, Dave. So with that, I'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight. Unfortunately, I've had problems with my chat room. There might have been people there, but it wasn't showing up properly. And anybody's been trying to get in that haven't succeeded, my apologies. Unfortunately, I've had tech issues, so it was beyond my capable of my hands to have it resolved. Thank you, Dave, for everything you do. Everybody associated with the EDL, the radio show, and a great organisation. Okay, this is the English Defence League, a radio show, signing off for tonight. And we'll see. Oh, by the way, please stay vigilant out there. Please be vigilant. Okay, guys, we'll see you Sunday. God bless you all.